Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. President Obama, first of all, I'd like to express the deep sympathies of the government and the people of Afghanistan to German and Spanish families and governments. Both of these countries took part in the ISAF coalition. They have had major commitments and they've sacrificed in Afghanistan. I'd like to take this opportunity to pay tribute to those common sacrifices and simultaneously take the opportunity to pay tribute to the 2,215 American servicemen and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice, more than 22,000 American soldiers who've been wounded in action, civilians, numerous contractors, and others. You stood shoulder to shoulder with us, and I'd like to say thank you. I would also like to thank the American taxpayer for his and her hard-earned dollars that have enabled us. Yesterday in Pentagon, I saw a young girl. Her name is Reese, and her father came out of retirement, out of reserve, to serve again in Afghanistan. She's sending a care package every week to her father, and I want to thank her and the fathers of all other American children who are making sure that their parents are helping us and standing next to us. Reese, I promised, now has 3 million Afghan sisters in school, and those sisters are dreaming of achievements that would have a career path, and hopefully one day we'll see an Afghan woman president. It should not be soon. It's not be too far, because we now have 4 women in the cabinet. That's 20% of our cabinet are women. I hope that some other countries will match us. That we are intent, and thank you for the reference to Afghanistan's First Lady. She was delighted that to have an opportunity to speak to Mrs. Obama. She's devoted her life to the most underprivileged of Afghans, and all of us are committed to make sure that 36% of Afghans that live below poverty will live with dignity, and one day, not in the distant future, see prosperity. Dr. Abdullah and I are grateful for the reception that you've accorded us, Mr. President. Your national security team has gone out of its way to engage in an intensive, comprehensive discussion, and both of us would like to thank Secretary Kerry for the loss of hours of sleep we caused you, and for your very able diplomacy and catalyzing the unity that today is on display. The government of national unity is going to be an enduring phenomenon, and both of us stand for the unity against the divisions that our opponents and enemies had hoped for. This unity is a reflection of the desire of the Afghan public to overcome the last 200 years of our political history, where rarely public figures have chosen the country before themselves. We are committed in this regard to emulate the founding fathers and mothers of the United States, where national interest will stand above personal or factional interest. Afghan, I'm glad that the security transition is completed. You fulfilled your promise to your people, and we fulfilled our promise to our people. Afghans, for millennia, have guarded our homeland and have a reputation for serving. The last years were an exception when we needed help, and we're grateful that help was provided, but we are pleased that the security transition has been met according to the timeline that you set. Today, the combat role of the United States in Afghanistan is over. But the train, advice, and assist mission is a vital part of our collective interest and collective endeavors. Tragedy brought us together, interest now unites us. And we can assure you that the government of national unity has revitalized the partnership and looks at this partnership with the United States as foundational, not just for Afghanistan's stability, but for regional and global stability. Much binds us together, and the flexibility that has been provided for 2015 will be used to accelerate reforms to ensure that the Afghan National Security Forces are much better led, equipped, trained, and are focused on their fundamental mission. I'm pleased to say that the departure of 120,000 international troops is not brought about the security gap or the collapse that was often anticipated. I'd like to pay tribute at this moment to the continuous sacrifice of the Afghan security forces, civilians, and a patriotic nation. Our patriotism is part of simultaneously our internationalism. We are unique in that we have embraced democratic ways. We are very proud of our Islamic civilization, but it's an Islam that is truly in dialogue with the world. And we have the capacity to speak truth to terror. They do not speak for Islam, we do. And it's the genuine Islam that is interested in dialogue with civilizations, in cooperation, in endeavor forward. On regional cooperation, we've taken bold and novel steps. We do hope that these steps would be reciprocated because the threats that exist, the changing ecology of terror, are making it imperative that all governments cooperate with each other. Today, the state system, as we've known it, is under attack. These are not classic national liberation movements. These are destructive, nihilistic movements, and it's essential that we confront them with vigor and determination. But we must differentiate between those and Afghan citizens who desire peace. Any political difference, anything that divides us must be resolved politically. And we've shown the wisdom and determination that we can arrive at unity of purpose. So our commitment to peace is clear. What we require is reciprocity so that Afghan patriots will choose the country over themselves and unite in resolving whatever might be that divides us. But we will not have peace with those who use our territory as a proxy for other purposes, as a battleground for alien forces, or as a launching pad for global terrorism. This trip is provided as an opportunity to have a comprehensive overview, and I'm again want to express thank you for your commitment to submit a bill to Congress for support of our security forces to 2017. There's much work that lies ahead of us, and the flexibility that has been provided will be used to maximum effect to accelerate reforms to ensure that our security forces honor human rights, that they internalize the practices that binds an army, a police force, a secret service to the people. Violence against our people has no place within our security culture, and we will overcome those types of legacies. It's again a pleasure to be standing next to a graduate of Columbia University. There's much that unites us, and your mother was an inspiration to us. I understand that the president of the World Bank actually got the job because he invoked your mother's teachings to convince you that the anthropologist could lead the World Bank. So thank you for according him that rare opportunity.